All right. Hi, church. Thank you for checking in today. I'm looking in the book of Mark. We're in chapter 14. We looked at it yesterday, just the opening couple of verses about why these bad guys had decided they wanted to kill Jesus. And just a couple of verses. But now we're in verse 3 of Mark 14. And I'm going to read it down through verse 9. And then we might get into verses 10 and 11 as well. But let me read this. It says, while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at the table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. And there were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was the ointment wasted like that? And for this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. And she has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. So that's a pretty well-known story. You know why it's well-known? Is because Jesus said it's going to be told everywhere the gospel is told. So we make sure to tell it. It's all through the Gospels, and it's an important little episode, okay? But it also ties in with what else has been happening here. We've looked at Mark from the angle of discipleship, and particularly the cost of discipleship from the beginning. That's what it's about, by and large. And here we have a woman, and it specifically says this is very costly. The cost of the value, monetary value of this perfume she's got is stressed. It's the main point of this little episode. And maybe not the main point, but it is frequently repeated. It's very costly, 300 denarii. Oh, well, shouldn't we give it to the poor? Like the money, the monetary value here is one of the core elements of what this is about. And that ties it to what was happening previously. You remember all of chapter 13 was a kind of a monologue of Jesus talking about signs of the end times. Okay, but you got to remember that chapter 14 just is after he got done talking, you know, he's here, he's in Bethany. And what had happened right before that? Do you remember? Well, there's a poor widow who had put all the money she owned, which amounted to a penny, in the offering basket, okay? Not a basket, I know, whatever. This is what I think of it. So there has been a focus on value, on money. And then as soon as she does that and Jesus says, hey, she's given more than all these rich guys who give their 10%, they're just tossing in 10% like it's no big deal. She's tossing in everything like it's no big deal because to her it isn't. It's all worth giving to Christ. All right, and then the disciples, oh, look at these costly stones. Isn't this amazing? Look at this building. And Jesus says, yeah, there's not going to be one left over. They're all going to be torn down. So I don't know if this woman here in Mark 14, who's anointing him with the perfume, I don't know if she was there and heard him say this or not. I don't know. Maybe she heard him say it. She said, whoa, everything's going to be destroyed? Oh, that's not good. I guess there's no point in holding on to all my stuff. I guess I should give it to Christ while I have a chance because it's not going to last. Maybe she heard him say all that. Maybe she just loved Jesus and wanted to worship him with something costly because an offering that costs nothing is not an offering. A sacrifice that isn't a sacrifice, that isn't sacrificial, that costs you nothing, isn't a sacrifice. It's a principle all through Scripture. Okay, so Maybe she's just doing it purely sacrificially because she loves Jesus, or maybe she's doing it because she was there when she heard him say about the widow who gave her penny and then heard him say that the temple would be destroyed and everything else, and the end of the age is coming. Listen, what's the point of having $1 million in the bank if the end of the age is approaching? What's the point? What's the point of working hard, saving all your money and being wise and doing all this stuff? And, you know, everybody likes to go to their financial planning class and say, give 10%, save 10%, live on 80%, or whatever their little formula happens to be. That's a common one. What's the point of any of that? What's the point of it? Well, they'll say it's to live wisely in this lifetime. And living wisely in this lifetime is important. But you know what's even more important is don't store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. It would be unwise to store everything up here. It would be unwise to store up more than you need here when there's eternal investments you can make now that will matter for eternity. And do them now. It's worth it. It's wiser to not save if you're giving your money to God's kingdom. I'm not just saying go spend it on other stuff. That's ridiculous. That's just another way of storing up treasures, where you store them up in your bank account, or you store them up in your garage, or you store them up in your yard, or wherever you buy all your stuff to go. It's foolish to store up treasures on earth. It goes against God's commands. So this lady has a treasure, a very valuable thing, 300 denarii. A denarius is one day's wage, all right? It's not like a penny or a dollar or something. It's a day's wage. So I don't know what the average day's wage is right now, but if the average income in the United States is, what, $50,000, or roughly speaking, basically $1,000 a week for a five-day week, it's basically $200 would be a day's wage, would be a denarius's value. I'm using really rough estimates. A denarius is a reasonable, it's a good amount of money. You wouldn't scoff at a denarius. You worked a whole day to earn it, okay? So this one's worth more than 300 denarii, basically like close to a year's wage, a year's salary. That's a ton of money, right? No matter who you are, that's a lot of money. And she's like, I'm going to break this thing open and pour it on Jesus. That's what I'm going to do with it. Oh, you should have sold it and given it to the poor. Yep, that's a great use of it. You know what isn't even mentioned? You should have kept it and stored up more of it and stored up treasures on earth. Nobody even says that. And Jesus says, you know what, you're always going to have the poor, but it's more important, you're not always going to have me. Make the best use of your time and use this to worship. So he doesn't say giving to the poor is bad. I've heard people say that. I was at a pastor's conference where a pastor said that they should pay the pastor, use as a way to pay your pastor more money and not pay for the poor or something. It was shocking. It's not what it's about. You should give to the poor, okay? Our church has a budget, and the budget is decided upon by a church council that's elected by the church, and I am paid, and it's a salary. I don't just get to fish money out of the offering plate every week or something. It's a good week this week, honey. Everybody gets a bike. It's not how it works. That's not the point. Giving to the poor is a great way to do it. Giving it to just purely out of worship, and it's almost reckless the way this poor woman had dropped the two little minas that add up to a penny, like recklessly just tossed them in. I don't want them. I don't need them. Jesus, you can make a better use of this than I can. And now this other woman pouring out her extremely expensive perfume all on Jesus. You could say it's reckless and unwise. And you know who you'd have in common? You'd be in common with Judas. You'd be in common with this Simon the leper guy, who's not exactly a nice guy. Okay, so if you're caught up in the wisdom of this world, in the wisdom of this age, you are going to miss extraordinarily important things that relate to the kingdom of God. Extraordinarily important. Judas didn't like it. He was like, oh, I don't like this stuff. Jesus rebukes him. Look. If you throw it away and for the kingdom of God, that's not a throwaway at all. That's an eternal investment. If you have a chance to do something, do it. Now, look, I'm not telling you to go waste your money. I'm not telling you to go throw it all down rabbit holes or something. I'm asking you to not be attached to it. Not base your lifestyle and your life plans, not base these things on your bank account. All right, we know that money is fleeting. We know that inflation can evaporate it up in a very short period of time. And what we've seen the past year of whatever 5% inflation month over month has reached the point where people are alarmed by it now. But this is nothing. It can get way worse. I don't know if it will. I'm not prophesying that it will. I'm just saying, look, historically and internationally and other countries, it's nothing to see what they call hyper runaway hyperinflation. your money can disappear in a moment, no matter how hard you worked for it, no matter how wise you were with it. And that was one of the points of Jesus' whole message in chapter 13. Look, even the stones of the temple are going to be pushed over. Nothing that you stack up in this lifetime and count upon is going to matter. It's all going to be gone. It will not matter. It simply won't be there. Whether the things of this world, moth, rust, thieves, inflation is a form of thievery, whatever, all those things destroy what you've lived for. Maybe you invest your money in tangible things like land or like perfume or whatever your favorite little hobby is, whatever. None of those things will matter. Even if the economy straightens out and international tensions straighten out and everything goes great and you live a lifetime of peace, you're going to die one day and you won't be able to bring any of it with you and it will be useless and you'll give it to your children. Read Ecclesiastes sometime and tell me about the value of money. read what the value of things saved up and stored up under the sun are. It's nothing. It's meaningless. It's empty. Give it to Christ. Give it to Christ. Now live wisely, and if you have children, you should feed them, and you should put clothes on them and blankets for them and so on, and you should meet their needs. And maybe I'm a hypocrite because I live in the wealthiest country in the history of the world, and whatever, I don't know. But listen, don't put your hope in this stuff. Throw it out in worship. Just throw it out. All right, and I said I might get to verse 10, 11. Let's hit them. Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. Now, you can read the other gospel accounts. They tell all the same story. Jesus said, anywhere the gospel goes, this story will go. And so the gospels all tell it. Judas agrees to betray him for money. So we have one person throwing out just gazillions of dollars worth of money just purely to worship, and that is celebrated. And Jesus says it's part of the gospel. You know why it's part of the gospel? It's part of the gospel because it shows that this is what it looks like to give your life to Jesus. It's almost reckless. It is directly reckless. Put down your net and follow him. Drop it all. Whatever a thing of value you have, sell it all and come follow me. Jesus says, get rid of it all. Throw it out. It's not worth having. Treat it disdainfully like Bartimaeus did when he tossed his cloak off to the side. It's in my way. It's between me and Jesus. Throw it aside. There's a donkey, Martin, we're riding into town and Jesus happens to be sitting on it. Take my shirt off my back so the donkey can step on my shirt. Drive it into the dust and all of this because it's worth it. Just disdainful treatment of the things you've lived your life for in this life. Just throw it out in the name of Jesus. And here's Judas. Here's Judas, one of the 12, says, you know what? I could use a little more money. And I'm sick of this Jesus guy talking about this stuff, telling me how the temple's going to be destroyed, how all the stuff of this world is worth. Just throw it out. It's worthless. Throw it out and worship him. I don't like it. These priests, I'm going to go in with them. And what do they have to offer? Money. What value is that? Money is of incredible value if it's used for the kingdom of God. If you throw it out, throw it straight into the kingdom of heaven, it's incredibly valuable. Have eternal, eternal compounding interest. Use it to betray the Son of God. What's that going to get you? Nothing. Nothing at all. He regretted. He's going to throw it back later because he decided he recognized it was totally off base. All right, what value does it have? What value does it have in your personal life? Is money an idol? Is money something that you count on? You think I've lived my life wisely and it shows in my bank account and it shows in my holdings and my properties and my whatevers. This is how I honor God by accumulating wealth. I don't think so. I don't think so at all. You honor God by how you give your wealth. And if you're talented and gifted and wise and able to earn a lot and save a lot and compound a lot and make it all grow a lot, good. Use that talent that you've got to multiply the kingdom of God. Give Bibles to everybody in North Korea, whatever. I don't care. There's good uses for it. But if you think you're pleasing God just because you're saving money wisely, and you're never actually using it for the kingdom of God, that's actually unwise. That's disdainful. All right. That's enough for that. We'll look a little bit deeper into this tomorrow. Glory to God. I'll talk to you then.